Cafe. I'm Aaron Barnett, your host today. Postal Cafe is a joint production of Washington Sea Grant at the University of Washington College of the Environment and KPTZ 91.9 FM in Port Townsend. And today we have a very special guest from the Department of Natural Resources in Olympia, speaking with Troy Wood. Troy is the director of Washington State's Abandoned and Derelict Vessel Program. Hello, Troy.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. So Washington State has kind of led the nation in dealing with abandoned and derelict vessels. And I was wondering if you could give not only a brief history of the program, but an overview. You know, like as you said earlier when we were talking, the 2,000-foot view.
Okay.
Starting with the intent and history of the program.
Great. So the Derelict Vessel Removal Program started in Washington State in 2002. It was precipitated by a few large vessels that made the news, and it identified a need in the state to protect the environment and as well as water users, so human safety and the environment. It's been in continuous process improvement since then. So we've updated the program quite a bit since then. It started out as just a public projects, and now it's turned into its own actual statutes and programs. So the overall view of the program is it's our state's key mechanism for dealing with abandoned and derelict vessels within the waters of the state. So we have authorized public entities, which are our cities, counties, and other public entities that can activate the program through their own jurisdictions, as well as the state can remove vessels under the Derelict Vessel Removal Act as an authorized public entity. But we have our own priorities as well. So local entities can remove vessels based on their priorities, and we can remove vessels based on our priorities. Part of our prevention program, though, because ultimately we don't want to have to deal with these vessels, we want to prevent these from actually becoming abandoned and derelict. And that major prevention program is called the Vessel Turn-In Program, where owners who are not able to take care of their vessels anymore and they're unable to properly dispose of them can turn them into the state for free disposal. The reason why we do that is it's a whole lot cheaper for us to deal with the vessel that's being turned into us than having to go out and get it after it's sunk or if it's out in a beach somewhere. So it just becomes a lot more expensive if we don't have them turned in through the vessel turn-in program. And what I mean by that is it's a little less than a quarter of the cost to have it turned into the vessel turn-in program than having to go out and get it.
Wow.
So we can do a lot more with the vessel turn-in program, definitely.
And there's also a cost of oil spill cleanup on top of that. If they have a leaky fuel tank, I imagine, as well.
Yes. So that involves all of the environmental impact of the vessel. So if there's an environmental impact, then we try and go in and restore the environment after the vessel has been removed. And we try and get to them long before they actually spill oil or fuel into the environment.
Right. So did you give an example of a classic abandoned derelict vessel removal case from a beach or possibly an example of a success story with the vessel turn-in program?
Sure. So if you remember in the news recently, we removed a vessel from the Snohomish River estuary in Snohomish County. The vessel was called the Midas.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't gold. It was about 100-foot converted barge into a fish processing vessel, and it had sank in the Snohomish River. We had been trying to work with the owner to get the vessel out of the water for quite some time before it sank, and he was trying to move it to prevent us from gaining custody of it when he lost control of it and it beached itself. And during a low tide, it got into such an angle that when the tide came in, it just flooded the vessel. So we removed the vessel, but unfortunately, it cost almost $500,000 for us to deal with that vessel because it sank right there. Whereas if we could have gotten it when it was floating, it would have been a quarter of the cost because we could have gotten it out and deconstructed it a whole lot easier instead of having a whole lot of floating cranes and stuff going out there to remove it. So that's one of the removals that we've done recently. And the reason why it was important to get it out of the Snohomish River is that's a salmon recovery area that we're kind of focusing on. And it was taking up an awful lot of habitat, as well as there was a huge possibility of leaking fuel and oil into the environment. And that's not good for anything or anyone. So it was good that we got it out of there. An example of the vessel churning program, I think the best one would probably be a vessel that we took out of the John Wayne Marina. This vessel was about 30 feet old wooden fishing vessel that someone converted into a living quarters, and they were living on it. An elderly man who was living on subsistence, either Social Security or welfare, I'm not sure which, but anyways, he had limited income. And every time the power went out in the marina manager would have to run down there with a gas generator to plug in this vessel because he had two sump pumps running continuously in order to prevent the vessel from sinking.
Wow.
Yeah. So we worked with not only the marina manager, but the county, and we actually got the vessel owner off of the vessel because that was a dangerous situation, not only for the owner, but for the environment as well. And we got him into housing on land, and then we had him turn in we asked him to turn in the vessel to the vessel turning program, which he did, and we were able to get that vessel out of there and deconstruct it. And it was in such a state that it could not be trailered, so we couldn't pull it out of the water with a trailer. We had to actually take it someplace and put a net sling on it in order to get it out of the water. And when they sat it down, it actually basically crushed itself under its own weight because it was so rotten. So that was an example of getting a vessel turn-in program vessel out of there. And that was the whole reason for this is if we didn't have this program, that vessel would have sank in that marina and it would have cost a lot more to get rid of. And it would have been a huge impact to the environment in the area. Not only that, the elderly man may have lost his life or he might have injured himself. And that is something that we just definitely do not want to happen.
Well, that's nice. That's commendable to see your agency doing a little bit of social work. That's kudos to you.
Yes. Well, we don't want these vessels and we just want to help these owners become, you know, to be responsible for their vessels. Mm-hmm. And if they get in over their head, then we just want to help them out because ultimately, it's a lot less expensive for us to deal with the vessels in the beginning than having to wait until they're sunk or out there abandoned and derelict. So,
I understand that this is a national problem, even in Canada too, where somebody will sell a fairly large, oftentimes a large boat, wood, steel on Craigslist for pennies on the dollar, and somebody will think that's a good deal and they'll buy it. Realizing the resources that are involved with maintaining such a vessel.
Yes, that's a huge problem. And I have talked to Canada about their new program that they're getting up and running up there. They've modeled a lot of their program after ours, which is great, but I hope they improve upon it so that maybe we can use some of their ideas as well. Mm-hmm. And you're absolutely right. We have a huge problem with people realizing that they have a vessel that's at the end of life and at its end of useful life. And instead of paying for a responsible disposal, they'll find someone to either gift it or, you know, spend $10 or $100 on a vessel. And to the unsuspecting, these people think, oh yeah, I can get a huge boat for $100 and I'll, you know, turn it into a yacht and I'll live on it and sail the seven seas or whatever. And just not realizing how much, you know, these vessels cost as far as maintenance and running them.
Yeah,
we had one vessel that was sold in California to a couple here in Washington, and they were bringing it up the coast. And they made it pretty far from San Diego. They made it all the way up to almost the Westport out there on the coast when it ran aground. And, well, there's a lot of suspicion on how it ran aground, but it doesn't matter. It just ran aground. The owner got off of it, walked to the nearest bar, sold it on a napkin for 10 bucks to someone there, mm-hmm. got on a bus, and went home. So then they went out and stripped the vessel of all of its fishing gear and hardware and stuff like that and left the rest of it for us to pick up and dispose of. So now we have a law in Washington State that's called the Secondary Liability Law. And what that means is if you're selling these vessels that are older and larger, you have to have an inspection done on them to make sure that they're seaworthy. And if they're not seaworthy, then you have to sell them for restoration or recycling or something like that. And you have to turn in the paperwork to my office. Additionally, you have to have insurance on the vessel for 12 months after the sale. And if none of those things are done, the seller of the vessel retains secondary liability. And what that means is if the vessel becomes abandoned or derelict because of actions of the purchaser, and the purchaser is not able to take care of the vessel, then the state can and will go after the seller for restitution for the removal of the vessel. And that's just to encourage people to be responsible with their vessels. And that's one of the reasons why we've recently increased our limit on the vessel turn-in program's budget.
Yeah, that leads me to my first a question and a follow-up question. So how is the program funded? And I understand there's been some changes with the funding mechanism. Could you talk about that in detail?
Absolutely. So the program is funded by vessel registration fees. So if you're registering a recreational vessel, then there's fees attached to the registration of that vessel every year that fund my program. So about $3 from every recreational vessel registration comes to the program. And if it's a commercial vessel, then it's $1 per foot every year comes to the program. And then if you're getting a visitor's permit for a vessel that's registered outside the state, then that's $5 per permit. And all of those funds are collected and put into the vessel, the derelict vessel removal account that is administered by the Department of Licensing. And then we're the only ones that have access to it. And the statutes dictate what we can and cannot spend the money on. And one of those things is the vessel turn-in program. We used to be statutorily limited on how much we could spend per biennium to $200,000 for the vessel turn-in program. And we would run through that in about the first year. So we petitioned the legislature to change that this last legislative session in 2020, and they removed the cap. So now we can spend up to our budget limit every biennium on the vessel turn program. Now, that's not realistic. That's not something that we're actually going to do. But the point is we got rid of the limit of $200,000. So now we can spend $300,000, $400,000, $500,000 per biennium on the vessel turn-in program. And if you remember from before, it costs us about a less than quarter to get rid of these vessels through the vessel turn-in program than the derelict vessel removal program. So we can actually remove a lot more this way and prevent not only the damage to the environment, but the risk to human safety as well. Mm-hmm. So that was one of the things that we had changed in this last legislative session. And we actually asked for five things, and that was one of them. Another one was the secondary liability law. It used to be 65 feet and 40 years old. The law would apply to those vessels, and we lowered it to 35 feet. Okay. And the reason why is we found that there's a large bulge of vessels that after 35 feet and before 65 feet, there's a lot more of these vessels that are in danger of becoming abandoned and derelict in that area. And the reason why is they're on the water all the time. Yeah. Most of the time, if a vessel is less than 35 feet, you can't trailer it on land.
If you're just joining us, this is KPTZ 91.9 FM in Port Townsend, and I'm Aaron Barnett, today's host of Coastal Cafe. We are speaking with Troy Wood, director of Washington State's Abandoned and Derelict Vessel Program. Okay, Troy, that's it.
Okay, so if it's below 35 feet, normally vessels can be trailered on land. So the ones that are on the water all the time are the higher risk ones, and those are the ones that are over 35 feet. And that's why the secondary liability law was changed to 35 feet this last legislative session. Then another thing that we actually got passed in the legislature was the program is now capable of ticketing vessels for vessel registration violations. Mm-hmm. This is a last resort thing. This is something that we are going to use only to encourage vessel owners to be responsible for their vessels, and is not something that we expect to be doing on a regular basis. So it's just another tool in our toolbox. And the reason why we petitioned for it is a lot of the law enforcement officers out there are dealing with higher priority calls. And so vessel registration is a low priority for them. And it's not used or it's not done very often. This just gives the program one more tool that we can use to help prevent these vessels from becoming abandoned and derelict.
So I'm curious. If a vessel, say, washes up on a beach in front of my house, let's say, for example, 25-foot sailboat, like the one that's down on the beach a couple blocks from my house, for example, which you are going to be removing, I understand. What's the process for reporting that? And what does the whole process look like once somebody calls you?
That's a great question. So if you witness someone on board the vessel and you feel that they're at risk, then I would call either your local sheriff's department or the U.S. Coast Guard. They're the first responders that can deal with life-saving situations. If it's not a life-saving situation and you might see a spill of some kind, whether it's oil or fuel or some other kind of hazardous materials, then I would call the Washington Department of Ecology, and they can go out and respond to that and mitigate any spill. Other than that, you can report the vessel to my program several different ways. However you feel comfortable is okay with us. You can call us directly. You can email the program directly. You can fill out a form that we have downloadable on our website and send it to us either by snail mail, fax, or email. Or you can go to our website, and we have a program on there called DART, which is the Derelict and Abandoned Reporting Tool. And you can actually use that on your cell phone. You can take pictures of the vessel, and you can attach it to your report, and you fill it out. It's geotagged, and that way we can import all of that information that you fill out on that report directly into our database. So it's a lot easier for us to, and quicker for us to get it into our database and get it reported. So most of the law enforcement agencies and the U.S. Coast Guard definitely know about my program. So any reports that you make to them, you can ask them if they're going to report it to my program. And if they don't, please feel free to send us a note. Let us know about the vessel. We're always interested in these vessels, and so whatever method that you feel comfortable with, we're okay with.
Okay. So if they went to the Washington State Department of Natural Resources website, would they easily be able to find your program and the numbers and emails that they need?
Oh, absolutely. Even if they just Googled the Washington Derelict Vessel Removal Program, it'll come up. It's usually the first ones there. But on our DNR website, it's under aquatics because it has to do with water, and then it's just the vessel removals. And you can go there and follow the link to the DART.
Okay.
Pretty easy.
Right. Yep. Any are there any interesting projects coming up that you want to talk about?
So we are actually trying to start this program in the Snohomish River estuary, where we're working with a lot of the locals. So we're working with the county, the city, the port of Everett, and the Tulip tribes there, and all of us are forming a coalition to try and clean up the estuary and the river for salmon recovery, as well as for the health of the environment there and water safety. So we've asked the legislature, we're going to ask the legislature in the next legislative session for funds to assist us in the removal of some of these vessels in that area, as well as some vessels in the Port of Port Townsend area and out in Pacific County. So there's a vessel out there called the Hero. It used to be a research vessel down in Antarctica. It's now sunk in the Palix River, and it's been there for about 4 years now, unfortunately. And when it first sank, we could have gotten it out of there for anywhere from $800,000 to $1 million, but our program wasn't capable of absorbing that cost at the time. Mm-hmm. So we've been asking for funds from the legislature. And if we get the funds in this ask, we'll be able to deal with it. But unfortunately, that vessel is now going to cost the program about $3 million to deal with.
Wow.
And the reason why is they're going to have to build a water treatment plant on site and put in a weir dam around the vessel. And any water that we remove from the vessel will have to be run through the water treatment plant, because there's a lot of lead, asbestos, and CPCs on the vessel that need to be filtered out. And if we just put it on vac trucks and sent it out, that would be an awful lot of vac trucks, and they would be running continuously, and that would just be a huge expense. So that's a large one. And the reason why that's important is it's the Palix River feeds into the Willapa Bay, which is one of the state's largest oyster growing areas. And the vessel sits right next to a nursery for these oysters. Their freshwater intake is right downstream of this vessel. This vessel is an old wooden vessel, and it's starting to break up. When we went out and surveyed it right after it sank, the draft of the vessel was about 10 feet, but the deepest part of the river was about 8 feet.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no way to float it out of there, even if we could raise the vessel. So, I mean, that's a huge project, and that's something that we really have to plan ahead for. But we're always dealing with little ones here and there. We're currently working on about 7 vessels in our program, but our authorized public entities are working on about 35. So
the
program's quite busy.
40. It's around 40 vessels total that are, you know, in the pipeline for removal right now. It's quite a lot.
That is. And considering that we've already removed about 90 vessels in this biennium, so we're on track to break our normal biennium removal record, which is great.
You know, I can see the importance of removing, especially the old wood boats, because they were built at a time when the products they use, such as the white lead, red lead, stuff that's illegal now. It's, you know, known carcinogens, all kinds of nasty chemicals are put into building old wood boats. So there's definitely an element of urgency, especially in a place like Willapa Bay.
Absolutely. So some of these toxins that are released by these abandoned and derelict vessels into the environment are not water soluble. They're fat soluble. So a lot of the microbes eat them because they're nice and shiny and stuff, and they get concentrated in the food chain as you move up. And there have been reports of orca and salmon having these toxins that can be directly related to these derelict and abandoned vessels in their systems when we've recovered them. So they're out there, and they're considered to be persistent organic pollutants because they're not going anywhere. They're always in the environment once they're shed off these vessels because they're not water soluble. So it's important to get these vessels out now quickly to prevent a large impact for the future.
So with a fiberglass vessel, you know, which are plastic, obviously, the issue there is, in addition to whatever chemicals are there, is microplastics, you know, the eventual slow degrading of the plastic into something that itself gets in the food chain. Have you come across any research on fiberglass impacts?
Yes. Yeah, so fiberglass presents one of the largest risks for the abandoned and derelict vessels because they represent the larger portion of the number of vessels out there. So the largest population of vessels is in the recreational realm. And the less expensive recreational vessels are your fiberglass and plastic ones, so they're more plentiful out there. And so they're a higher risk to the environment. And if they should become abandoned or derelict out there and they hit the shore or something like that, it doesn't take long for the tide cycles to pound them into little pieces and then they spread them out all over the environment. So they're a real big risk and real high risk. And that is something that we're really looking to limit and to get out of the environment as quick as possible.
So we have a minute or two left. Is there anything you want to add or point out that you'd like to?
Only that the derelict vessel removal program is here to assist, and we're considered to be the garbage men of the water environment, so we're not usually the first calls, but we're definitely interested in any of the abandoned or derelict vessels out there. We are limited on what we can do in which jurisdictions, but we're always willing to help out the authorized public entity in whichever jurisdiction the vessel might be in. We're mandated to give technical assistance to any of them anyway. And our main goal is to protect human safety and the environment. And by doing that, by removing these vessels.
Well, this has been great, Troy. To our listeners, as Troy said earlier, if you want to find out more, just Google Washington State abandoned derelict vessel and you'll be led to the right spot on the internet. And again, thank you, Troy, for speaking with us today. And we'll probably check in with you in a year or two and see how things are going. This is Aaron Barnett. You've been listening to Coastal Cafe, a joint production of Washington Seeger at the UW College of the Environment, KPTZ 91.9 FM. Washington Sea Grant helps people and marine life thrive by providing research, technical expertise, and education to support the conservation of our ocean and coastlines. I'd like to thank our program director, Larry Stein, and production engineer, Jared Dufresne. And as always, a special shout out to the band Q-Ich for sharing their music with us at the open and closing of this program. Thank you for listening and have a good day.